All right, Romans chapter 5, and I hope this is a blessing to you, this message here. I've preached along these lines before, but I've never preached this sermon. The Lord had me put it together, I think it was yesterday afternoon or last night. I don't even remember. All these days are running together. But I guess it's in the light of what has taken place even in our church here in the last couple years, really, as far as seeing people get saved and see them without any peace and then getting the peace of God in their lives and just the effect of what happens, you know, when Jesus comes into your heart and when he changes you and the peace that you get from that. I see a world of turmoil, but I know that in Him we have peace. Let's pray. Father, I pray You'd be with us now. Help us, Lord Jesus, please. Strengthen hearts with this message. I pray it'd be an encouragement. And Lord, I pray that You'd be honored and glorified by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, listen, out of those verses, he starts out by saying we're justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. First comes the faith in God and the faith in Jesus Christ. Then comes peace. And then we see also, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. He says those tribulations are going to come, even though you're saved, they're going to come, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because those tribulations work as patience, but we have that peace of God inside of us that doesn't move, it doesn't change, though everything else changes around you. Things will always change around you. Amen? There'll always be problems. There'll always be abrupt things that happen and that take place. But the peace, true peace, comes from Jesus Christ. He's the only giver of true peace. Only Jesus. In John 14:27, He said this, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He gives peace. And He's the only real giver of peace. Man desires peace. Really, this world is looking, many are looking for peace. All over the world you hear them say, "We need peace. We need peace." And there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Same thing goes with the belief, with a person's heart and life. They will have no peace until the believer, until a man gets born again by the Spirit of God, gets the Holy Ghost of God inside him, and then he gets true biblical peace. And it is the peace that passeth all understanding. Amen? It's the peace that passeth all understanding. First of all, understand this, that man must have peace with God. He must have peace with God. There are many people that want to be at peace with God. There are many churchgoers in our land today that want the peace with God and don't have it. I've seen it in the lives of people that they go to church every week, but they have no peace. Inside is so much turmoil and hate and anger and bitterness and strife, and they have no peace in their heart. You say, shouldn't they have peace in their heart when they're in the midst of the assembly and they go to church? Not if they're not saved, they won't. They'll have no peace. I think of my own self and how my sin haunted me and I had no payment for my sin. And when the Bible was preached, it haunted me. It agitated my conscience because I knew I had no peace with God. I hope this is on in the nursery. Are the speakers on over there? Okay, good. The old Baptist called it travail of soul. I remember stories of men like Spurgeon who had a father and a grandfather that was a preacher. And he was in his upper teens and lost and went to church and heard good preaching every week, but he was lost. Never was saved. He heard it. He heard preaching his whole life pretty much as he was growing up. Other men of God, if you study history, you'll see that many of these Baptists, they heard preaching. They grew up in good homes. They had the preach to them. But God was the enemy of their sin nature. Just as He is all of us, all of our sin natures, He's the enemy of the sin nature. Other great men that sat under fine preachers but were still lost, they had no peace with God and they knew they were not accepted in the Beloved. I think even in this church, with Rachel and Jessica and Roy and even Jeremy here recently, just that what God has done in their hearts by saving them and the peace that they get from that. And they had no peace before. None. Yeah, we still all have troubles. But there's peace. Peace in the soul. Yeah? That peace in the soul is of a great price. Nothing like it, is there?
Amen.
Nothing. Many people are uneasy with hard preaching when the preaching comes against sin and preaching the gospel in the need of a lost man to repent. Then their soul is tormented and pride keeps them from running to the cross in repentance and confessing their lost condition. And a man will do anything to keep his pride and save face. A man will do anything to keep his pride. I mean mankind by that, a woman's the same, but they will do anything to keep their pride. Even go to hell. Some are willing to even go to hell to hold on to their pride. Some men will live their life until they either end it themselves by suicide, or they die in an old age in absolute conviction and knowing they are lost and not willing to come that they might have life. There are many people that will just die and go to hell knowing the truth but never receiving it. They know the truth, but they'll never confess their lost condition. They'll never get born again. They'll never call out to Jesus Christ for salvation. They'll die lost. It's very sad, isn't it? Very sad thing. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus said He would not leave us comfortless, but He would come to us through the Holy Ghost and comfort our souls. He promised that. Romans 10:15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Notice that. The gospel of peace. Something, isn't it? It's the gospel of peace. No, friend, that's not another gospel. That's the same Jesus. It's the same gospel. It's the gospel of peace. Many people seek religion, many people seek money, many people seek whatever they can to try to find peace in their hearts, and they never get it until they get the Prince of Peace. They'll never have peace with God, they are at enmity with God, they are God's enemy, and they know it. The gospel brings peace in the heart of the one who receives it, but turmoil in the heart of the one who rejects it. Remember He said He came for a sword. Those who receive Him will embrace it. Those who reject it will despise it one day. As they cry out from the depths of hell, they'll still despise the God. Why? Because the God who offered salvation free and clear. Why? Why will they despise it? Because they rejected it. And they have no peace. Do you understand that there is no peace for the wicked? Do you understand that if you die lost, that there is no peace for you for all of eternity? no peace. None. Are you willing? Are you willing to allow that to happen? No peace for all of eternity. Turn to John chapter 14, please. Verse number 18. He said, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse number 15, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He's talking to the apostles there. At the time, the Holy Spirit dwelt with them, but not in them. Now before Pentecost, by the way, before that, they were in the upper room, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they received him. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You ever thought about that? That's God's promise. You have no peace in your heart? Why? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. God's promise, right there. Amen. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How is that? He that loveth me not, keepeth not my command, not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. How is he going to do that? How is he going to make his abode with you? These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's the one that brings comfort, folks. He's the one that brings peace. He's the one that gives you that brings in the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and no other person can give you that. No other person can give you that peace. We have no peace with God when our souls are lost and in turmoil, because God is merciful, but he wants to forgive you of your sin and give you the Prince of Peace. But it's not until receiving that you get that peace with God. You know, the reason why man desires that peace, and he doesn't want to admit it sometimes, but that he desires it, is because he is a created being. And he looks to a higher power, the higher power. Just like your children want your approval most of the time. They want to know that they've done a good job. They want to know that they've pleased you. You want the same thing from the God who created you. For him to look down on you in favor and have that peace with him to know that it is well with my soul. That peace can only come from the Prince of Peace. And you only have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way to have peace. Number two, there is the peace of God dwelling in the believer's heart. This is a peace that I know that I've been born again, and though the world crashed down, I don't fall apart because Jesus keeps my mind with peace from above. Do you understand that? Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, what did he say? He said the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep, preserve, protect, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? Though everything else crashes around you, the peace of God keeps my heart and mind so I don't have to go insane with what happens around me. I guess we need to learn that, don't we? Though the winds of change come in and everything happens, no. The Bible says for the believer that peace which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through the Holy Ghost, through Christ Jesus. This is that peace that keeps a man when he loses everything in his life, like Job. This is that peace that keeps a lady when she loses that baby or child, or a child dies or something happens so tragic that it shakes their world. This is the peace that keeps them. A believer should not be shaken to the point of no faith or completely broken or lose it over the little things of life. Something wrong with a believer that's like that. Or when you hear bad news in the world and it shocks you so bad that you lose all composure. That means that I am too stuck on the temporal things of this life. And I don't see the heavenly things, and that I am kept by God. My mind is kept by God. I am kept by God. So I shouldn't lose it when I hear bad news or things happen in this world. Amen? Why would I? There should be that deep, settled peace from God that has kept your mind and heart. You and I should have this peace in us that kicks in when all hell literally breaks loose in your life. When the fires of hell rage against you, you ought to be able to have that peace of God in your heart, knowing that everything else is falling apart, but inside, I have a more sure word of prophecy. I have Jesus. I have the Lord to protect me and to keep my heart and my mind. When someone loses a job, or when health concerns happen, or financial disaster, or when plans change and God allows things to happen in our lives, we're promised the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds. We're promised that. If you have that peace with God, then you are promised the peace of God when trials come. Did you see that? If you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the peace of God when trials come. When somebody falls apart over things that happen, I mean completely falls apart and loses it, and has no composure, what's wrong with the soul of that person? Why don't they have any peace? Sure, we all get in the flesh and we get worried about things and things happen and we got to get right with God. That happens. But why no stability? Why no peace? Why no peace with God? Why no peace of God? You know, Jesus never said that trials or tribulations would not come. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He promised it. I will not leave you comfortless. If you are comfortless and can find no comfort in God, then it is because you are either in sin or you don't have the Prince of Peace that gives the comfort when you get saved. There's something wrong there. Amen. You either have the peace of God when things happen, and yes, trials happen, and it shakes you a bit. It shakes every man or every lady. But there's one or two things wrong with you. Either you don't have the Prince of Peace inside of you, or you're living in sin. And God will not comfort the believer in sin. If you are living with a bitter heart, then He will convict you of your sin, and you will be agitated in the depths of your soul, for the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God will not comfort someone who is living in their sin. Amen. He will not comfort the believer who is living in sin. You will get no comfort from God. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you see that promise? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Jesus said that there would be many trials and problems in this world, but that doesn't change who God is. He is still God, and when the Prince of Peace is in your heart, we should not be moved to hopelessness. Why? Because we have the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said, you're going to have some problems, but I'll be with you. We are not of them that are hopeless, but we are promised the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You should not be shaken to despair if you're being comforted by the Holy Spirit. When you take the Word of God, the Holy Ghost uses that to comfort your soul. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The words of Scripture, the words of life. Ought to be a sort. You ever met people that are agitated by the Bible when it's preached? Yeah, I have. They're called churchgoers. But anyway, they're called church members. But when the Word of God is preached and they get agitated by it, they get angry at it, they get mad at it, they get upset with it. The Word of God is to bring peace. Now, it'll bring a sword till you get right with God, but it's to bring peace. It should bring peace to the heart of the believer. It should reveal unto us what we need, yes, convict us, but then bring peace to us if we're right with Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusteth in Thee. I preached that message to you before, the perfect peace of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter, I don't even remember the chapter of it, but in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusteth in Thee. The perfect peace of God that passeth all understanding. How do you explain that peace? How do you explain that peace? The peace that God gives though everything around you falls apart, but you can have a smile on your face and say, well, I know I'm going home. How is it that believers that get struck with the disease and know they're dying and they have a smile on their face when they die? In death they smile. How about the martyrs? The peace that the martyrs would have when they're burned at the stake and they're burning alive and they're singing and they're just looking on and looking up. How about Stephen when he was stoned and he just looked up to heaven and said, God, don't blame them for it. Lay it not to their charge, God. They know not what they're doing. Right? Peace. Peace inside the heart. The peace of God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Now notice, you'll be in peace when your mind is on the Lord and pleasing God. When you veer from that, you're not going to have peace. You're going to have a lot of turmoil because you're not stayed on Him. You're not fixed on Him. And number three, the devil and the world offers a false peace that never lasts. Did you know that? They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, the devil always tries to offer a false peace, but it goes as quickly as it comes. Did you know that? I've seen the devil offer people a false peace. Remember this, God satisfies and the devil pacifies. God will satisfy, but the devil will try to pacify. That is what he does. He'll pacify you. Just like you understand when you give a child a pacifier, it is to pacify them for a little while. It does not fix what the issue is. It just tries to give them a false sense of assurance and a pacifying thing. Right? Just pacifies them for a little while. But when God gives peace, it's permanent peace. It's real peace. It satisfies the longing of the soul. The world always gives an imitation of what God can do for people. Always. If you go out to the world, yeah, you can find a wife out in the world if you want to. You can find a husband out in the world if you want to. But when you do, you may get more than you bargained for or less. The world says do it this way. The world preaches fornication before marriage. God preaches vows before the marriage bed. And many take what the world has to offer, and they get no peace. None. Just remember, when God gives peace, it is a lasting peace, not a fleeting peace, but a deep, settled peace in the heart that I am His, and He will never leave me nor forsake me. He will not forsake me when the road gets rough, when my health goes, when someone dies, when I lose all that I have. He gives the perfect peace. The devil offers that pacifying peace, but the lasting peace will come from God Almighty. You know, when you receive that peace, the last kind of peace that we have is a peace with man. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There are people that stand opposed to what I preach and what I believe, but I'm still at peace with them. Why? I'll tell you one thing. There are some people that cannot get along with anyone. Everyone is always against them, and they are always at odds with everyone. They have no peace but constant conflict with others, and many times there's no peace inside of that person, and that's why they have no peace. They can't get along with anybody because their soul is in such turmoil that they just cannot get along with anyone. They are warring with God in their soul. But then they are warring with their wives or their husbands or their family because they have no peace. These people will tell you they're Christians, but the whole world and all the church and the preacher and their in-laws and their outlaws and everybody's all against them. They cannot get along with the simplest of people or the kindest people they have offense with. They have no peace with God, and it haunts them. God says if a man pleases the Lord, he'll maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Even your enemies must admit that they have no offense against you. I don't agree with them, but I can't say anything bad about them, really. You know, man will search around forever for peace in his life, and the one place it can be found is with Jesus Christ. It's the only place it can be found. There's not another place. But we fight the very thing that will help us. The very person who will help us. We fight him, his book, and everything about him. We fight it. Why? Because man is full of strife. And the works of the flesh are part of that. That strife. Anger, malice, wrath, wickedness. All of it. when God wants to give peace. Do you know that man has no right to beg for peace when we've caused so much turmoil? But Jesus came to give it. And I'll tell you, when you get that peace in your heart, you can go through a lot of trials knowing that Jesus is in your soul. You can have a lot of heartache come your way. You can have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of things happen. But when you know down in the depths of your soul that you are His and He is yours, there may be some time when He's the only one that you have. There may be some time in your life that Jesus is the only one that you have. Not that we would wish that upon anybody or ourselves, but do you know that He's enough? Even if that's all you ever had was Jesus, it's enough. He more than satisfies. How do you think a man like John Bunyan could sit in prison for not taking a license while his old blind daughter, his little blind daughter, came? How do you think a man could do that and still have the peace, still keep his composure, and still do what God wanted him to do through it all? He had peace. Do you have that peace? Deep, settled peace in the depths of your soul that you're a born-again believer? That you've been redeemed? I hope you do. Because then you have peace with God. Why is it that we would think that a soul in turmoil should have peace with God? If we rejected salvation, rejected His Son after He gave His Son for us, and we rejected it all, but we should have peace? No. We'll have turmoil. But He said, in Me you'll have peace. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a promise. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the peace of God, folks. That's the peace with God, the peace of God. And it translates into peace with man. When you see people that have the peace of God and peace with God, they're very pleasant to be around. Amen? Because they're not in turmoil, but they have peace. Just remember that. Father, thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the peace that passeth all understanding. Thank You, Lord, that I can go to bed tonight, if I never opened my eyes again on this side, I'd open them up in eternity with You. Not for what I did, but for what Jesus did. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the Holy Ghost abiding in me, sealing unto the day of redemption. Father, help us as we go this day to have that peace in our hearts and know that we're born again by the Spirit of God. And if there's one here that isn't, Lord, I pray they'd fall under conviction, get their heart right with You, get born again by the Spirit of God and have the peace that passeth all understanding. So when the traumas of life come, the storms of life come, our soul is at peace with the Savior. Thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.